Everyone will experience death, but in American culture, death and dying are often taboo topics that people shy away from. Megan Johnson of Madison wants to change that.
As a professional artist, she uses creativity to help people work through grief and death.
And this summer, she plans to open the Madison Death Studio and Bookshop, where she'll provide workshops and support to people experiencing death and dying.
Megan Johnson is a death worker and founder of Madison Death Studio. Megan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand you came to this concept of being a death worker through some personal experiences of your own and the loss of your family at an earlier age than we'd like to see. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had experienced caregiving for two terminally ill parents who were both diagnosed with different terminal illnesses in my 20s while I was in undergraduate here at the UW-Madison for an art degree. And I went on to continue my career in art and also managed caregiving for them and supporting them emotionally through the process of the terminal illnesses that they had. And after getting my art degree, I moved to New York City, continued to support them and travel back and forth from New York to Madison. And both of them passed away when I was in my early mid-30s within 18 months of one another.
And in that peer age group, that's not something everybody's dealing with. Was that kind of a lonely, maybe even isolating experience?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone was really kind to me and listened to me through that process, but I could really tell that it was difficult to have those conversations around loss, especially, like you said, in that peer age group where other folks that I knew and was talking to hadn't really experienced the same thing.
And this isn't something we're necessarily real good about talking about in the first place, right? As I'm sure you encounter in your work, if there's a stereotype of us in the U.S., we don't like, I think, to talk about death and to share our grieving process and things like that. What do you see when it comes to that reluctance to tackle this?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult culture for grief. I mean, in some ways, I feel like this culture is quite hostile to folks who are grieving or folks who are ill or dying, because it is what's required to tend to grief is kind of the opposite of what we are told to do within a capitalist culture, which is go, 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 and, you know, pull yourself up and all of that stuff.
And we'll dig into that a little more. But I want to get into this concept of a death worker. Mm-hmm. People might be familiar with a grief therapist, maybe death doulas. They're out there and people might have heard of that. This idea of being a death worker, what is that?
Yeah, so I identify as a death worker, not as a death doula. And the reason why I have chosen to do that is that death doula has kind of been defined at this stage as somebody who does work at the bedside of those who are having often predicted deaths. So folks who are there to support the hospice process or folks who are there to support the family and the caregivers during that hospice process. And what I do that work. I do. And the reason why I'm choosing the word death worker is that it is a more umbrella term. And a lot of the work, the bulk of the work that I do is actually around culture shifting. So I know we'll get into this a little bit more when we talk about the Madison Death Studio and Bookstore. But in order for the folks in our culture who might need these services to know that they're out there, we also need to change our culture and talk about it on a broader scale as well. So that's the kind of death work that I'm mostly focused on.
What is the Madison Death Studio?
Right. So the Madison Death Studio up until now was sort of an online and conceptual space to talk about death and grief and to create some cultural education around community-based death care. I also had been hosting workshops at other locations, Art Lit Lab, Goodman Community Center, things like that. And now I have my own studio workshop and bookshop on Atwood Avenue.
So what will happen there?
So on Wednesdays from 4 to 7, we will have very limited retail hours where folks can walk in and browse the bookshop, ask questions, get to know a little bit about the resources that are in our community. And then outside of that, we'll also be hosting workshops that are death, community-based death care educational workshops that also incorporate elements of creativity into what we're doing there.
We are talking about death and grief support with Megan Johnson, a death worker and founder of Madison Death Studio, which is opening a store in Madison this summer. Now, you talk about a culture change. I think a lot of the time we talk about how do I personally, an individual, deal with death and grief. You're looking for something bigger, I think. How are you hoping to shift our conversation at that cultural level about how we talk about death?
Yeah, I think, well, one of the things that kind of struck me when I was going through my own caregiving process with my family was that I was experiencing a lot of personal grief, yes. And I was noticing how that personal grief experience was rubbing up against and in tension with our culture. And also how it was running parallel to a lot of collective grief that we're all experiencing through things that are happening politically and globally, genocide, ecocide, wars, things like that. So a lot of what I want to do is actually examine not just how are we as individuals personally grieving, but how are we as a culture creating a context of grief that we are not necessarily confronting.
And so what would that look like?
So a lot of the workshops, for example, have a crossover between our own personal grief that we might be bringing to that space and the cultural grief that exists between all of us. So one example of one of the first workshops that we're opening with this summer is going to be a workshop about how to host a funeral for roadkill. And the person who's running that workshop, her name is Haley Tenner, and she works in corporate sustainability. And through doing her job, she recognized that she had a lot of personal grief that was coming up around the ecological crises, climate change, global warming, things like that. And she didn't have a place where she could talk about that. It's not something that can be individually pathologized. So she had struggled with finding a place where she could talk about that. And so she is doing her own rituals around her own eco grief. And one of them is looking at different roadkill that we have on the side of the road and then tending to it in this sort of creating this beautiful altar for the animal. So a rabbit that gets hit by a car, for example, covering the rabbit in flowers and then creating this beautiful like grass and flower mandala around the rabbit. And then she takes these gorgeous pictures. So the workshop will be exploring how she does that, what tools does she use, when does she choose to do that for an animal, and then we'll also be practicing that. And within the context of that workshop, we'll also have the experience of talking about our own personal grief when it comes to these larger cultural problems.
Another point of friction, I think, is when somebody's lost someone, A, they have that grief, B, they have to keep working. You don't get indefinite bereavement leave. And see, there's often a lot of bureaucracy, right? There's extra work to be done in dealing with the affairs of the deceased, depending on your relationship to them. Are there ways we could take some of that friction away from people at what could be one of the most difficult time in their life in some ways?
There are millions of ways that we could be taking that friction away from people that we currently are not doing as a culture. Like you mentioned bereavement leave, which if somebody is within a certain level of inner circle to you, then you may get that 3 days of bereavement leave. That 3 days does not cover, like you said, the amount of the logistical hurdles that you have to now go through to support the death of somebody, the ritualizing of their death, the financial things that come up after somebody dies. Maybe you have to clean out their entire home. And we don't have support. We don't have readily available support for people that are going through that. So yeah, you're right. There are very many ways that we can use more support in those situations.
And I know you are looking in some ways at institutional and cultural changes. At the individual level, though, I think there's often a sense that people feel like they don't know how to grieve appropriately, or they worry that they're doing it wrong in some way or another. How do you start to reassure people that there's probably a right path to grieving for them, even if it doesn't match what somebody else looks like?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a lot of shame around the ways that they're grieving. And I think a lot of that has to do with how culture reflects our grief back at us. When we do grieve openly, how is that received? And so I think on an individual level, on one hand, it is, yeah, reassuring people that, hey, you know, there are safe places where you can talk about this. There are spaces where folks are having these conversations. And also creating larger dialogues within our culture about how we show up for other folks who are grieving so that we don't continue to create difficulty within their lives just based on our own discomfort around their grief.
Let's talk about that. You're not the person at the center of the circle of grief, if I can make up a metaphor, but you want to help that person who is, and you don't want to be a bother and make things worse. What are good ways to broach that? And I mean, we all know, like, oh, whatever I can do to help, let me know. I've said that. I know that isn't that useful. What's a better way?
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about all the whole logistical and emotional load that somebody goes through when someone dies. So offering help without any concrete way of helping can actually just create more.
Guilty. Because then they're like, oh, now I've got to do the work of figuring out how Rob can help me.
Exactly.
That didn't help.
Exactly. So if you want to offer help, you could offer, hey, on Wednesday, I'm going to bring over some groceries. Do you want to send me a list? Or I'm available to watch your kids for 3 hours on Thursday while you go do whatever it is that you want to do and take care of yourself. Or I dropped off a little self-care package. Please know that you can text me at any time. There are these other more concrete examples that we can give folks so that they don't have to do the creative labor of coming up with where would I need help. And another thing is that sometimes people don't want to ask for help because if you say no, that no can land in a really tender place for them. So asking for the help in the first place may be more painful than just not asking for it at all.
And then finally, all cultures, I think, have rituals surrounding death. We have, you know, a cemetery or memorial service, which can be great and helpful, but it's a one-off. Is there a need for more ritual that might, you know, grief doesn't go away in a day or a week. It might stay with us till we go.
Mm.
How can we kind of ritualize that connection with the person we've lost?
Yeah, our cultures, and by cultures, I mean all of our cultures, have rich rituals dating way, way back in our histories. And currently, we're sort of outsourcing a lot of what happens after somebody dies to institutions. And those institutions are supportive. They help us. They help us make sure that there's a place where we can have a memorial. There's somebody who can tend to the body. But these are less hands-on than the ways that we used to do them in the past. So right now, we're in a place where we do have the opportunity to recreate, to look into the past and also look into the future and maybe recreate some rituals that might be meaningful to us now.
And if I can engage in a stereotype here of us as Midwesterners, well, I don't want to be a bother.
Oh, my
right?
gosh.
Right? I got to get through this myself. Can you encourage people, whether they're, you know, they're going through the loss, they're watching a loved one and knowing they're going to pass soon, or in that time after, how can we be open to reaching out for help and then accepting it when it's offered?
Yeah. Wow. We do have a lot of that here, don't we? And I do wonder if this is just one of the things we need to crack open a little bit more is how can we, you know, especially within this Midwestern culture, like how can we experience being a bit more vulnerable and also maybe being a bit more direct when it comes to talking about the truth and the reality of a situation? I don't think this is just a Midwestern problem,
sure.
though. But yes, I think, you know, we are based in the Midwest, so we can talk about that a little bit. But I think that is a deep inner work. So that is not something that we can teach in one workshop. But I think what I love about having this bookstore is that it's a consistent place where people can come and practice these things because we're never going to be perfect at it. We're never going to be perfect at dealing with death and grief. But a workshop like this, a bookstore like this, allows us a space to try something new.
Megan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. It's been wonderful being here. Thank you so much.
That's Megan Johnson, a death walker and founder of Madison Death Studio, as we heard, opening a storefront in Madison this summer, aiming to help people deal with issues of grief and death.